You likely expect the Bible to tell you what you ought to do. Those very words are found in Paul's short letter to Philemon. What you ought to do is Brother David Johnson's sermon topic on this Words of Life program. We are sponsored by Churches of Christ and other believers who pray for and contribute to this weekly radio broadcast. We work to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In addition to the sermon that you will hear today, you will also hear prayers and a song of praise.
I know.
Dear Father of all holiness, we bow before you in prayer. You are our God, and we love you. Please use the words of this program to honor your name and help share the teachings about Jesus. Help each of our listeners to have your blessing. Be with each congregation of believers that sustain their work for you. Lord, be with persecuted Christians throughout the world, and please give them your blessings. And when you have finished with us here upon this earth, take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Based upon the verses of Philemon 8 through 11, Brother David Johnson will present a sermon entitled, What You Ought to Do.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts as we endeavor to share the Word of God. I to you, and you to others around you. The title for the lesson is What You Ought to Do. And there's a very small epistle or letter in the New Testament called Philemon, the name of a man. And we'll be looking at verses 8 through 11 of this small book in the New Testament. Verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. This is the Word of God. Many of us in America, in the United States, probably remember back in the 1950s and early 1960s, a police drama called Dragnet on television. I fondly remember Captain Joe Friday and Sergeant Bill Gannon as they tracked down criminals in methodical precision, sticking to, quote, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. Of course, they always got their man. Justice always prevailed, and lawbreakers were put behind bars. Back around the year of our Lord 62, first century, a crime occurred in the city of Colossae, today in southwest Turkey, the modern nation of Turkey, which was an unimportant corner of the Roman Empire. This crime would have probably remained unsolved and historically unknown, except that the fugitive went to Rome, Imperial Rome, eventually meeting the great Apostle Paul. And he, Paul, was writing about it, which has been recorded and preserved in the Holy Bible, and we have just the facts. Briefly, as a runaway slave, Onesimus could have been executed, tortured, or sold again. Whether he sought out Paul for refuge or met him through others is not revealed to us. Though Paul was under house arrest at the time, the two men became close friends. Through continued fellowship, Onesimus became a Christian, helping Paul in his ministry as Paul shared the gospel with him, as you and I should do to each one that we come into contact with. Somewhere along the line, Onesimus must have confessed his background and his relationship to his former master, Philemon, and his flight as a slave, a bond slave, his flight to freedom. Despite Onesimus's newfound life in Christ, the Apostle Paul knew his past actions needed resolution, reconciliation, so that Onesimus's present life could be lived honorably in his newfound Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul, therefore, wrote his epistle, this letter, to Philemon, who had been the owner, the slave owner, of Onesimus. This short letter is very personal, surrounded by a true story of crime, faith, confession, grace, and forgiveness. This epistle is a moving portrayal of redemption, as Onesimus, guilty of a crime, sought forgiveness and reconciliation with his master, Philemon. Yet Jesus Christ was now Onesimus's preeminent master and Lord, so he wanted to do the right thing under the law and under God's law. Like Onesimus, we all stand guilty of sinful ways before God. In vain, many run away trying to hide their past. Many seek freedom in the wrong way, unable to find true guiltless freedom. Yet through Christ, upon trusting in Him, in repentance, all can find true release from the slavery of sin and imprisonment to their past. No one can save himself. All must seek forgiveness from God. Then the joyous liberty of reconciliation, as the sinner is baptized into Christ Jesus, that they are in Christ as they have put their faith and repentance and obedience in Him. That's what every accountable human being needs, whether they understand that or not. Let's look deeper into our study text, beginning with the verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Well, how so? Bold because of Paul's apostolic authority. Paul could have ordered Philemon to accept Onesimus, his runaway slave, as an apostle called by Jesus Christ himself, as according to Romans 1:1. Paul had the authority to issue commands in situations requiring the enactment of Christian ethic, morality, to do the right thing in God's eyes. In spiritual godly matters, authority lines must be respected, heeded, and obeyed. Paul often had used his prerogative in disciplining churches and in disciplining individuals in the church. Paul knew that Onesimus's return and reception hinged on Christian principle, not only personal desire. Philemon's refusal would be a rejection of Christian morality and a dismissal of Christian truth. Verse 9. Yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus. In this set of circumstances, Paul bypassed his apostolic authority, preferring to appeal on the basis of the bond of Christian love between himself and Philemon, beyond Philemon's love for Paul. Note verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, a love of God's people, and certainly love of God, is in order. Onesimus was now a fellow brother in Christ Jesus. So Paul appealed in agape, unconditional love, an unselfish love with power from God that sets aside personal rights and safeguards, acting instead for the glory of God and the welfare of others. This is the highest godly form of love that all genuine Christians should live out by an act of the will and the help of the indwelling Holy Spirit as born-again baptized believers. Paul always pointed believers to Christ's higher ethic, a morality above the morality of the culture, above the morality of the society. A respectable person may well respond to decency, but the higher standard of Christian virtue springs from agape, unconditional love. Paul, regarding as an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, was not his attempt at manipulation or an emotional dig to draw guilt in Philemon, but instead, surely, Paul's deep emotion that was heartfelt and not manipulative, Paul indeed opened his heart to his brother in the Lord, Philemon. Paul was old for his times, probably about age 60, probably worn down and tired after all the persecutions and all of the hardships he'd endured. Probably he felt some loneliness and isolation being under house arrest at this time. Paul thus appealed to Philemon's sensitivities, brother to brother in the Lord. So he put forth his concern. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. To Paul, Onesimus was like a son in the faith, surely a convert of his unto Christ, as he had shared the gospel with Onesimus, and Onesimus had received Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. We can only imagine Philemon's thoughts in seeing that name, Onesimus, in this personal letter to him regarding his runaway slave. Regarding Onesimus' salvation, Paul knew well of the wonder of God's grace toward the repentant believer. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Onesimus was a slave in the household of Philemon. He would have had easy access to items throughout the household. Onesimus used his position to personal advantage and probably stole an item or more and then fled. Compare Philemon and verse 18, where Paul wrote, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me, Paul wrote. Onesimus fled from Colossae to the great metropolis of Rome, over 1,000 miles away from his crime, to simply hide himself there amongst the great populace. Perhaps Onesimus met the Apostle Paul when he had visited Philemon some time earlier and sought him out in Rome to serve him and to have a refuge. Paul was not without knowledge of Onesimus's past, of his lawlessness. Just the facts. Philemon, verse 11. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful, both to you and to me. Here, Paul used a bit of word play. The name Onesimus actually literally means helpful or profitable. So basically, Paul stated, useful formerly was useless, but now is useful. Paul's point is that Onesimus had been radically transformed by God's grace upon his faith and repentance. He was born again. He was a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. So now his name, Onesimus, truly matched his character. Paul never dismissed Onesimus's former conduct, but he also did not restrict Onesimus to his past. Forgiveness is the center around which our faith revolves. God's grace forgives and forgets our sins upon genuine repentance. We must also endeavor to forgive those who trespass against us with the grace that God forgave us with our many sins. Forgiveness is intensely personal. It affects the way we relate to God and interact with all others. Forgiveness of others must not be simply a cover-up. It cannot be a shrug of the shoulders and pretend the offense against us doesn't matter. Sheer willpower to overlook or minimize an offense is not forgiveness. Such an approach often creates bitterness, especially when the other person fails to respond as desired by us. Paul wrote, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. That in no way minimizes the violation that maims lives. It's for us as Christians to forgive and leave the rest to God. There is no debt of love and honor greater than what we owe Jesus Christ. For he paid in full, once and for all, on the cross for our cumulative sin. And so, we must do what we ought to do. Do what is right.
Jesus' love, so pure and free, is above for you and me. Boundless love, what glad tidings we bring. Full salvation evermore through the Christ whom we adore. Blessed Lord, in God's family we find loving friends and peace of mind. Oh, what joy sharing Christ as our King in sweet fellowship. share his own gentle, tender care here at home in his love rich and
We have been blessed and challenged by Brother David Johnson's sermon. If we can help you with Bible-based information, please contact us. You may have a free CD of this and last week's program by asking for CD number 2408. That's 2408. We pray that God's blessings will be upon you, and we look forward to hearing from you. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.